Chapman is super streaky. Like, he'll have streaks like these where he goes 3 for 40, but then he'll have a streak where he goes like 11 for 18 and hits seven doubles and like just keeps banging them off the right center field wall or whatever. Like, I just think he's streaky, and you just have to kind of accept he's going to strike out a lot. Like, this is kind of how it is. I think it's kind of extreme. Like, right now he's at that dip, but I think he'll probably end up around like 230, have like decent numbers.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Straight A's. Today I'm joined by Alex Espinoza. We discuss the A's season, his bold trade idea, and more. With that, here's Alex. Hello everybody. Welcome to Straight A's. I am joined by Alex Espinoza of the Ricky Henderson of blogs and pods and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm great. What have you been up to in terms of watching the A's? How do you feel about the team so far now that we're in June?
They're fun. Like, I don't know, like yesterday's game. Yesterday's game, the last game in Seattle, that was just fun. Like, I don't know, Manaea was like fired up and like, he was like Chapman was like beating him on the chest, and they were just like, he gave Murphy like a massive hug. Like, I don't know, it's kind of cool to see like that, to them like take ownership, like the, especially the infield, like this is like their team, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's cool. I don't know. I'm really happy for Manaea. He's such a nice guy. And
I know.
Like, it just seems like he's kind of back to where he was before the surgery. Like, his velocity and everything, like, he's throwing 93 again and all the time. And I don't know, it's kind of cool to see it happening. It's like, with all the other stuff that's going on, you're like, oh yeah, this is a baseball team. You know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's cool to see that.
It's nice to see. He was throwing 96 yesterday, or threw 96 a couple times. I remember feeling bad asking him about his velocity last year, last year.
I mean, it had to be S. I mean, I thought he was going to be like 89, 90, turn into Dallas Braden and like have to figure himself out kind of a thing, you know?
The way that they come to terms with it is so grim too. Like with Puck, because Puck's velocity is down after surgery, which is not surprising, but they just are like, if that's who I am, that's who I am. And it's just like, oh. I mean, you could see them going through. I mean, it's not like the end of the world. They know that, especially this day and age, if they have the right movement and spin rate, and if you're Puck's height, then throwing 93 is not the worst thing in the world. It'll look a little faster, according to them. What do I know? I'm not standing in the box. According to them, it looks faster for the batter. And that's sort of what they've said. And with Manaea, when he was only able to throw 90 tops, and Puck when he's throwing 93. But it's nice to see that Manaea's velocity is back. It was not expecting it. Snuck up on us a little bit. And
I know. I think it was his spring training. Melvin said something like, oh, Manaea put on weight, so I think his fastball looks better or something. But then, like, you guys asked him about it, and Manaea's like, I didn't put on weight. He's like, I didn't, or he's like,
did
I didn't,
happen?
Or he's like, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, I didn't do that on purpose.
And he's like, wait,
oh God, what do we do? It's like, I don't know. I mean, but I was reading, I mean, I heard he was saying he's actually trying to stay lighter. I mean, I don't know.
Now I don't remember that. I remember
I mean, I was just listening to or read some quotes last night, and I guess he was saying he's trying to do more cardio between to stay lighter or something. But, and he used to be lifting weights all the time, and now he's doing cardio, and it's just like, I don't know. He looks thicker to me. Like, and I think that's why he's throwing, you know.
Yeah.
I called him chonky. I called him chonky in my game story.
Chonky to his face. cats are
chonkster.
He's also just happier. Like before, during spring training, where, you know, you talk to everybody, you go through, what'd you work on? What's going on? Keep us up. What's up? What's the haps? And he's like, he went to visit his friend who is like a mental strength coach or mental performance. That's the word, mental performance coach. And that he went to college with. And I guess in the time that they spent together, they made Manaya believe that he is nasty. Like that was the that was
yeah
the-
that was like his mantra. You could see him telling himself to tell, you know, it's like
he's like I am like nasty. This
process, and he's like, dude, I'm nasty, and I'm just gonna start telling people I'm nasty, and
I'm
nasty, like kind of being like unapologetic and like, you know, trying not to be so nice, and like
you could see, I don't know, that it was he like- was like very that he had turned a corner mentally, because I think that something after surgery and the wild card game mishap sort of might have messed, and I'm sure there were other things that he didn't talk to us about, might have messed with his head a little bit, and he needed to get back to square one mentally and be like, hey, I'm a big league pitcher, I'm nasty. Dude,
well, and also I'm really interested, like if I ever interviewed him, I would ask him, like, because I think he went to like Southeast Asia by himself for like a few weeks. He did like a solo backpacking trip after 2019, like before the pandemic. And I'm like, can you imagine Sean and I? He's like 6'5", like backpacking around, like, you know, little 5 foot tall people. Like, I don't know. He would just like stick out. He'd be so, you know. I'm curious. Like, was he like doing like the solo backpacking thing, or
Did he have like Eat, Pray, Love time? I fully support anybody that wants to do Eat, Pray, Love. Any baseball player that wants to Eat, Pray, Love back to their a healthy mental state, that's a genius idea. I would love to do Eat, Pray, Love too. So
dude, I loved your Ramon podcast. Like, dude, I don't know, Ramon is like a whole, like there's so many levels to Ramon.
It's, I know, crazy. I was a little nervous about it because
back the onion.
Yeah, it's he doesn't want to be, I don't even know how to describe it. I was nervous about it because
he doesn't want to talk about himself or put himself in the spotlight, right?
Yeah, like, he doesn't want to talk about himself. He doesn't really know how to talk about himself, and that's not, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, or maybe he's just very present in himself at all times. So when you ask him something, he's never just like, what do I have to say that's the right answer? He's always just kind of answering honestly in the moment, and sometimes he's like, wait. So we talked about water for like 15 minutes. It was great,
dude. His superstitions though, like I don't know, like I didn't think he, like the whole parking spot thing, like that was hilarious. Like I didn't think he would be like that. Me either. I would think he would think stuff like that is stupid, but I don't know. Maybe
I was Melvin, like, are you usually superstitious off? And he said, I am this year. It's like, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think he's their only, maybe not only, but like best shot at an all-star. I don't know.
That was going to be one of my questions is I was just looking at Twitter, and now they're rolling out, you know, vote for our guys, please vote. Hello. It's time to vote.
I'm going to see all those hashtags. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah. It's, they just like hit us over the head with,
hey, did you know you could vote today?
So suddenly it's like, please vote, or you're the worst fan in the world, please vote. So I was thinking Ramon, I mean, the injury is a terrible, the injury is not good timing for Ramon. Just I don't know how much it'll impact the voting.
Yeah, and another thing too, I was thinking like, you know, Olsen, but dude, there's so many really good first basemen in the American League. Even in like, I was like, when they were just playing who's on the Angels? Jared Walsh or something? I mean, he's putting up crazy numbers. And then, I don't know who – they were just playing – the dude in Seattle was putting up crazy – or I think it was Seattle, right? Like, their first baseman's putting up numbers. I forget. There was, like, two dudes in the division who were putting up crazy numbers. And I'm like
– yeah, wait, let me look at the first baseman, Jose Abreu.
I mean, Jose Abreu, yeah, he's
– off the bat.
I mean, yeah, he's in there. Like,
yeah, Vlad Guerrero. It's gonna be hard to get, okay, you can't really
– yeah, it's going to be hard to get Olsen in there, dude. And, like, I mean, Jed, no. Elvis, no. Chapman, no.
I know.
I mean, I don't know, dude. Like,
Yankees fans are going to be like, it's Luke Voit. Luke Voit.
And also the starters, it's crazy that Manaya's ERA, like 3.63, is the best. Like, I don't know, because maybe one of them. That'd be funny if Petit got in just because he's 7-0. I mean, hey.
Get Petit in there. Oh, my God. That would be
that'd be really
much
funny.
Deserved.
That would be very A's if Petit – actually, I feel like A's fans would love it if Petit was the all-star.
They would love it. Hilarious. The team would love it, too. If that was – if Petit was their representative –
that would be sick. That'd be the very A's.
And like, let's not pretend like he doesn't deserve it. I mean,
because he has like the best ERA, right? Like, I don't know.
Okay, let's look at the stats on their team.
I think he's got their best ERA, and the team's got the most wins. I mean, wins are something, right? No.
Yeah, wins don't mean anything, but like, why not?
That'd be really funny. I would like that. Also, what do you think? Do you think Luzardo's gonna back in the rotation or what?
I think he will eventually. It'd be nice if. I'm very fascinated by the difference between Luzardo as a reliever and Luzardo as a starter. And I think the way that he described it was, or someone described it was, it's just a difference in adrenaline. Like, there's a different kind of adrenaline, and the adrenaline that fuels a relief appearance just like benefits him a little bit more. So he needs to find a way to channel that adrenaline to the adrenaline that he feels that? as a starter. And I guess what Bob was saying too, is that, you know, when you're a starter, you have a different mindset about how you're going to conserve your pitches, how you're going to roll out your pitches, how like the plan itself just kind of alters everything about your mental state and what you're throwing. So, I mean, like, the stuff he has is just like ready-made to be a dominant reliever. He could just, if you're not overthinking everything, he just comes in there and throws what he needs to throw and is confident. It's just like, oh yeah, that's the guy.
I think that's what he does. And then like, but if you keep him in there like by the third or fourth inning, like he'll maybe have a lapse where he'll just leave like, you know, a heater right over the middle and then someone hits a dinger. I think that's what like, but like, it's crazy how it's hard for him to consistently, you know, just do that for like five or six innings. You know?
Right. The strategy of being a starter versus the strategy of being a reliever, where you're just like, I'm going to strike out dudes and I just need to worry about this out in particular and just go step by step there, as opposed to game plan. It's a little bit different. So I don't doubt that he'll be able to translate the reliever stuff to the starter job. But who knows when? Like, it's nice. I don't think they're in any rush, just given the value of a good dominant reliever. I don't think they're in any particular rush to get him back in the rotation. Be nice to see him back in the rotation. But, you know, you have Cole Irvin, you have Caprillion.
Caprillion kind of bought himself, like, I think he can have like maybe like 3 to 4 bad starts now in a row, and then they'll be like, oh
yeah,
you know, like I think if he messes up this one, he'll start getting nervous like his next start. But if he goes like 6 innings again, like, dude, I don't know, like,
right.
he seems like he's ready, and he seems like and everybody on the team loves him. It seems like him and Chapman are like the same person almost.
Definitely buds.
Well, it seemed like in spring training, remember they were talking about, I remember Caprillion talking about, like, dude, I got to tone myself down in the weight room. Otherwise, I'm going to rip, like, Chapman's head off or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I can just imagine them, like, just, like, you know, like trying to one-up each other in the weight room. I need to tone down my weightlifting. Yeah.
I follow them on Instagram, so I see that, like, it's kind of creepy. I don't know why that sounds creepy. I follow them on Instagram, but, like, they're always hanging out.
Well, dude. Did you see Caprillion? He has a SoundCloud. He's like really into house music. And
SoundCloud, like he's like a rapper or something.
No, I thought he was a producer too. But then I looked, he just has a bunch of playlists, and it's just like all these like, it's like a bunch of house music and this stuff. Like, yeah, he's all up into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, Chapman
also has like a very deep library of music that is, I can imagine.
That's why I think they're kind of similar. Yeah. I feel like they're both Southern California boys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're both kind of from the same area. Yeah.
Cappy and Chappy.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's what – dude, I know everybody says Cap now, but he was saying when he was in Anaheim, everybody was calling him Cappy. I guess that was his nickname in Little League or something like that. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I don't like that.
I know. I can see in your face. Cappy. Like, Cappy?
It sounds like Captain, like for an old like drunk captain of a ship or something.
I think, like, once you – get out of like traveling ball, I'm cap now.
Yeah. It's just Cap. Please. I remember we talked about this before, but I remember watching him at UCLA when it was right after his mom died. So it was it was like one of the first things that I knew about him was that he had gone through this traumatic experience.
Yeah.
Because I remember posting that feature that they did on his mom. And it was like 2015 or whatever, like right after she died. So
yeah. It's really sad. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I remember watching, was he part of a no hitter at UCLA? I remember something watching like that.
I don't know, but when he like hugged his dad at Fenway, you could really see that was a really deep emotional hug. And you just have to imagine like they're thinking about her for sure, you know, like
yep.
So yeah, it's really crazy. Yeah,
I know. And like when I see Stephen Piscotty's dad, I talked to them for like the coaching core awards or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like that thing that the Bay Area puts on.
Yeah, the Bay Area awards. Yeah.
Yeah, and. I talked to them, it was at the Fairmont, and I remember talking to them in the lobby about, you know, what Stephen Piscotty's dad meant to him and you know, their experience with losing their mom. And his dad started crying, and I was just like, and I couldn't stop crying. Cause when I see people cry, I start to cry. So we were just crying together in the Fairmont lobby. And it was, I don't know. It's just, so when I see moments caught on TV like that after a game, it's just, you know, it's people forget how much emotion is into really the game.
Cool. Yeah, like yesterday with Lou Gehrig Day, it's really cool. Like the Piscottis followed through and like quickly.
Yeah.
Within like 3 years, they made it like it's pretty impressive. Like, and this is mm-hmm. going to be an annual thing now. Like, I think people, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't be surprised if after his playing days, Piscotty's kind of an ambassador for this thing.
Sure.
Kind of, and sees it through. Like, I mean, I really applaud how they've been able to turn that into something really positive. And I don't know. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's a no brainer to me. You know, Lou Gehrig Day and just, you know, there's so much money and resources out there. Like, I don't know. And there's a lot of causes. Like, you know, why not? And it's really cool to see the Piscottis do that. Yeah.
Yeah. They got on it. And their dad is basically does it full time. And I appreciate he's very dedicated to the cause, which is, you know, of course, but it's starting your own foundation is a big deal. And they're proud of the A's and proud of MLB for getting on it, spreading the word, making it something that is reoccurring. Cause I think that even though it's, you know, celebrating something like that sounds kind of not trivial, but like it's not trivial. It's reminding people every year
It's awareness. I think it's like awareness, yeah. And I'm sure that there was like a massive influx of, you know, donations or, you know, even just aware, just getting people talking about it, I think is what's more important. And
yeah,
I mean, that's not hard. I mean, it's really hard. And I applaud Stephen for putting himself out there and talking about mm-hmm. something so personal.
I know. You know? I don't, yeah. it's, I couldn't imagine, I don't know. I don't think I could do it.
Imagine doing that. Yeah.
He has to talk about his loss, like as a cause. I mean, I'm sure that it maybe is not nice, but it's, you know, channeling your trauma into something that can go to preventing other people from experiencing the same trauma has to feel at least like, you know, a valiant purpose. So it always makes me emotional when I see them talk about it, because I don't think I could be as strong about it as they are. But
yeah.
Anyway.
It's really crazy. Like, I know, it's really weird. Sometimes when I'm like trying to, like, and I'm watching a game and I'm like, oh, this dude's average. I'm like, I don't know. There's so many other storylines and other things going on right now that sometimes the baseball team seems trivial. But it's fun to like watch a game. Like, I don't know. It's still fun. It's still baseball, you know?
Yeah. Also, I'd like to point out that the A's have two Armenians on their team. So Middle Eastern awareness, not awareness, but it's pride.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Cam Bedrosian, James Kaprielian.
Really?
Oh yeah, I was trying to look up some like list of Middle Eastern baseball players, current and past, and I can't really find a cohesive list. I can't find a full list of Middle Eastern baseball players. So I'm gonna go ahead and just make the declaration that they're the only baseball team with two Middle Eastern baseball players on their team, and it's like they're not, you know, it's their roots. But yeah. Shout out to that. Just wanna rep the Middle East a little bit.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So speaking of you know, averages, what do you think about Matt Chapman's performance thus far at the plate? And are you concerned?
I don't, I honestly, like the 205, like, so yeah, I'm looking at, he's in 205 right now. Okay, yeah, that's super low. And also the strikeouts, I think he has like the second most strikeouts in the American League right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's going to be, okay, 205 is pretty low. I thought he might hit like 230, or I honestly, I think he's going to hit like 230 at the end of the year or something like
that. Yeah, I can see that.
Which, I don't know, a few years ago, 230. And 230 is like, it's like the new 250, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's bad, but it's not so bad, you
Sometimes
know?
Sometimes I have like, to remember that, where it's, everyone's like, why are these, everyone's hitting 200. That's so bad, dude. What the heck? And I'm just like, look at the league, dude. It's not easy to hit.
I'm actually curious how many people are actually even hitting over 300 this year. It's like, probably can't be that many. Like, I don't know.
Let me look. It's cool how I don't know.
But I mean, no, I mean, it's like, dude, it's 11 dudes in all of baseball hitting 300. Like, that's crazy, dude.
And it's an exception.
That's like, yeah.
Castellanos is still hitting 361.
I mean, there's only two people hitting over 312 in the whole league. That's crazy. It's June 3rd. Remember when dudes hit, wasn't like, there's dudes hitting like 400 deep into the year? Like, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the top average is 335 now. So it's like, Vlad Guerrero Jr. has the top average in the whole league at 335. So that's crazy.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. The game has changed. So it's like, I don't know. Chapman is super streaky. Like he'll have streaks like these where he goes 3 for 40, but then he'll have a streak where he goes like 11 for 18 and hits like,
and he's always been like
seven doubles and like just keeps banging them off the right center field wall or whatever. Like, I just think he's streaky, and you just have to kind of accept he's going to strike out a lot.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of how it is. I think it's kind of extreme. Like, right now he's at that dip, but I think he'll probably end up around, like, 230, have, like, decent numbers. Like, I just think this is kind of who he is now. Like, you just kind of have to accept. Like, I can't see him hitting, like, 270 like Olsen, like, kind of.
Oh, if Olsen can hit 270 with the home run pace that he's at, then that's freaking insane.
Yeah, I think like he that's more reason. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know about concern. I have been encouraged by Elvis. I thought Elvis was done. I thought Elvis was like this is it. This like I thought Pinder was going to come back and steal his shortstop job, and he was just
going
to go to the bench or something. But I don't think Pinder can really play it. I don't know if you can trust his arm. Like from shortstop, like kind of like, or at least you would have to, I don't know if the A's are in a position to like kind of groom, like, you know, they let Semien just make those 30 errors. Like, I don't know if they're in a position where they could do that right now. You know, they need to win like right now. It's not like 2016 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Just Chapman's just his defense. And like, if you can hit defense and hit 30 dingers a year, like, whatever, that's fine. You know, that's cool. Yeah,
and there's let's see if I can get the tweet now. I mean, another thing to consider about Chapman is that he had surgery not long ago, which maybe people forget. There's this Dr. Pandya, who I talk to sometimes, just to make sure that I get, you know, if Nick Papparester or whatever is not available, that I can, you know, understand. Something
is that the guy who's always talking about the Warriors jersey?
Yeah,
or the
he's,
Warriors
he's always talking about Klay Thompson. Like, here's there'll be a video of Klay Thompson, like dancing at the club or whatever, and they'd be like, "How long until Klay Thompson can come back and do that spin move he did in that video?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, 1 or 2 months with the Achilles repair."
He needs to work on his posterior,
flexibility
or whatever.
Yeah, he's always giving us some Klay updates. So, someone asked him about someone asked the doctor about Chapman if there should be any concern, and he said it could take up a year for metrics to normalize after the type of surgery Chapman had. The best study in MLB players showed no overall difference in performance pre and post surgery, but the mean RTP was 8.3 to 4.1 months, and Chapman is still on the early side. Okay, there's some like weird math symbols in there that I don't feel like trying to
Delta epsilon.
There's like cosine. a plus thing on a little table.
Should have paid attention in trigonometry, Shana.
Yeah, I friggin' suck at math. I don't understand the symbols. I can't wrap my head around anything. But yeah, that aside, it looks like the basic takeaway from that is the numbers will normalize at some point, but I wouldn't expect them to normalize now. Just, and Chapman has said as much from a baseball perspective, which is, and we haven't really followed up on this. He said this a long time ago, that he developed some bad habits trying to compensate for his hip last year. Cause he's been hurting for a while. He wouldn't say how long he's been hurting, but it seems like it was kind of a long time. And the nature of his swing makes it so that the compensation methods that he was using kind of threw him for a loop. And you can kind of see now that I don't want to say he's not confident, but he just seems a little bit like not confident at the plate.
I think he just always guessed. Like, I think in the past he used to have problems with breaking balls. Mm-hmm. So, and then he's up there thinking, oh, they're going to throw me breaking balls. But then they just throw him like 94 heaters and he's like, oh shit. And yeah. Then he's like, late. Like, he's just always late, you know?
He's always late. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Chris Davis.
I think he's just up there guessing. Yeah. I think he's up there guessing and he just guesses wrong a lot. And like, but then he'll go on those streaks, you know? So, yeah. I mean,
yeah. My main takeaway is that, yeah, he might be recovering now. He might be a little in his head now, but I would be pretty confident that he'll go on a hot streak at some point soon. Maybe not soon.
I didn't realize he only had 5 homers though. I thought he had more than 5. I thought he had.
Yeah, like, he hasn't hit a homer in a while.
That's crazy, actually. So yeah. I mean, that's actually more concerning than the average of me, in spite of the fact that he has 5 homers and 190 at bats as opposed to 205, because. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least he used to like drive the ball, like whenever he didn't make contact and stuff.
So. I mean, part of his return has at the plate. Obviously, if he can turn on a fastball and hit a home run, that's great. But I think that something that he might be focusing on and something that is a good indication that he's in a groove at the plate is when he's staying back through the zone and hitting the other way. So it looks like he's kind of late. When he can, when he's feeling himself, he is hitting the other way. He's driving it to, you know, center or to right or anything like that. And he said that that's kind of what he's looking for when he's feeling good at the plate. So that might have something to do with, you know, he wants to get back into feeling like himself. So the home runs might come opportunistically, but if he wants to fall back into a groove, then, you know, getting those opposite field hits might be a better indication that he's feeling more like himself, at least lately.
Because when he's driving the ball to right center, you kind of feel like, oh, okay, like Chapman's back. But it's crazy. I mean, I didn't realize, he's only slugging like .337 or something. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts. For Chapman, that's not good. Yeah.
No. We'll see how he
recovers.
But
I mean, he's coming off of hip surgery, so, you know.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, defensively, he seems all right.
I posted some of his statistics on Twitter, and someone replied, like, you think it's time to send him to AAA to get him confident? I'm like, what? I was like, I can't even picture a single situation or scenario in which they send a platinum glove third baseman to AAA because he's in a slump. Please think about how everything changed when he wasn't at third base during the postseason. It changes everything. Him being able to turn those double plays yesterday, I mean, like, sure.
That was cool, yeah. I mean, but it was actually kind of cool. There was one where he was on the ships and he was playing at shortstop and he did that. And I was like, that's cool.
Like, oh, wait, Chapman's there.
Because I didn't think there was a chance at all. Then it was like, oh yeah, that's Chapman though. So and then he got him out. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
It's pretty. I mean, I don't think it goes unnoticed. Absolutely, like people notice it, but maybe it. You don't realize what you have until it's gone. In terms of his defense, like he can end innings. He can end things. He can change the entire course of an inning or a game.
Yeah, yeah. And there was one like in the first inning. It was like a decently he made it look like all right, but I don't know. Just little plays like those, like little infield choppers that he gets to.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, you know, and like that. That's just like a, I don't know. He erases a lot of singles that people don't even think about. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, and that makes a huge difference. And
he can turn a bunch of plays that, like, you saw it in against the Astros in the ALDS when he wasn't there. And this is not a knock against, you know, Pinder, Simeon, all those guys, but it just, it could have changed the entire course of every single game if he was able to get some of those little choppers that, you know, went over their head, went beyond them a little. He would have cleaned up the mess that led to the big 3-run, 2-run home runs that just put the games out of reach for them. Like, you could see little plays that weren't the highlight plays that led to the disaster innings that he would have stopped that maybe other defenders weren't able to. And that's not a knock on them. It's just, you know, he changes things.
Yeah. He's so much better. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it changes the way they shift the defense. It changes the alignments. It changes everything. If he's there, he changes everything.
Yeah. Because I remember, they were saying, like, on a lot of shifts, they can just leave Chapman by himself over there. And they're like, all right, we got a decent chance at, like, 75% of this whole side of the infield. So.
Exactly. His range is freaking astounding. So, you know, good old Chappie.
Well, I remember, and last time we talked, you were all about Tony. Well, I was saying how I didn't think Tony Kemp was a good at-bat. You were like, no, I think Tony Kemp's a good at-bat. And now he's going off. Now he's
crazy.
Yeah. That was going crazy.
I think that people get caught up in the lack of power because, you know, when you see a lineup, you want to see, like, that guy get a home run, that guy get a home run, that guy's got power. Like, you want to see someone each time, each spot being like, that dude can change.
But even, like, the doubles he was hitting, like, it has, like, power I didn't really see. Like, I don't know. And, dude, that dinger, he kind of pimped that dinger in Seattle. That was really cool. I was like, okay, Tony, like, wow.
It was it was a good one. It was just, like, you know.
Deep. That was like an Olsen homer. That was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. The way that he kind of stretched out for that one was nice. Like, it was, Dude,
ever since that Superman catch, he's just been on fire. He's just been, he's been doing, like, everything.
And he's always, I mean, like, he's benefiting from having more playing time, which everyone does. But, you know, it's tough to get in a rhythm at the plate when you are, not when you're in a platoon role, but also just sort of not really in a, like, you know, he was getting very inconsistent playing time. Last year he was barely playing, so with the injuries and I guess the injuries mostly led to it, and the matchups, he's been in a lineup more times than not, and you're seeing the benefits of that because he's just very focused.
He's fun. He's like an exciting player. I like, he's fun to watch.
He's a really,
and I'm looking at his stats now. I didn't realize he has 15 walks and 18 strikeouts. That's crazy. That's pretty good.
He's good at the plate. He puts together good at bats, and I've always said that. But
280, yep, 279.
He is, people don't get excited about it, and by people I mean whenever I tweet out, I talk about whenever I tweet out the lineup, everyone's like, oh, why? But there's reasons. You can see the reasons. Any final thoughts on the team, or if you want to get something off your chest about the stadium situation or anything?
I have something. I wrote about it at rickyblog.com. You check it out.
I was going to tell you to promo your
– Oh, yeah. Check out Ricky stuff. Blog. I wrote about – actually, seriously, I think that, like, Sean Doolittle makes sense to bring back. I know.
Man,
okay, they need a left-handed reliever, right? Uh-huh. And I was looking, like, he signed to a one-year, $1.5 million contract, so he's affordable. Uh-huh. The Reds are in fourth place in the NL Central. They'll probably be sellers. Fourth.
I thought they were supposed to be good. Okay.
Like the Cubs and the –
Oh yeah, the Cubs had a good month.
The Cubs and the Cardinals are really good right now. And they're like 6 or 7 games back. So I'm like, okay, maybe they'll be sellers. Like, you know, just a short little rental. His velocity's back up. He's got like the highest strikeout rate of his career right now. Like, I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. So that was my one out of left field. Is like, hey, they should bring back Sean Doolittle.
I like it. Yeah. I like this. I like this out of nowhere.
That's the random. That's my random hot take I want to get off my chest.
If it happens, you heard it first. Yeah. This is the original idea nugget of bringing Sean Doolittle back.
I think it
fits into the mold of we want to bring our dudes back.
Yeah, I mean, and also, yeah, that was funny to see Semien and Hendricks win the monthly awards.
Yeah,
Semien reliever of the month, and then was player of the month, and then Hendricks reliever of the month.
Yeah, good stuff, guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
But hey, you know, the A's love bringing people back, so bring them all back. Yeah, bring all back Doolittle.
Bring Sean Doolittle back. Let's freaking do it.
So that was my little random thing. Yeah, but yeah.
Any other random nuggets you got?
No, that's
anything you want to get off your chest?
I think that's it. Yeah, they need a their left-handed reliever is, you know, because behind Beekman they don't really have anybody. That's like they're
literally
Luzardo now.
Luzardo, and that's not a bad left-handed reliever to have.
They get a vet lefty at the deadline. I think that's what they do.
They do need, I would imagine, well, I guess we can discuss this briefly. I would imagine they would be looking for a reliever before the deadline, at the deadline. Do you think that they need anything else, to be looking for anything else?
Honestly, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, honestly. I think their offense is okay. Maybe some, I don't know, actually, the way Tony Kemp is playing, I think he's fine. Like, I think it's just maybe one person from the right side, one person from the left side on the bullpen. That'd be great. But
yeah.
I don't know. And then what's up with Rosenthal? What's going on with him?
Well, I think he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah. Because he's like, it's another 1 to 2 months. But they said 3 to 4 months, right?
So September at the best. Best case scenario, he's back for, you know, it's like surprise.
The stretch run. Yeah.
Got it. The closer, he's pretty good.
I was thinking it was going to be like August or something, but dang.
I don't
know. Because didn't it,
I don't
it happen
know.
In what, April? So April, May, that's two. So 2 months are gone, and I thought it was a 3 to 4 month thing. So maybe.
Yeah. I would, I mean, like, I'm not going to speculate because I don't think they know. I don't think that any of us know. I was just sort of guessing September sort of as a best case. I mean, August would be best case scenario. I don't know how.
Because then once he gets back, he has to build up his arm again and all that
stuff. Yeah, exactly. So, you have to sort of, basically the 3 to 4 months is like, this is when you can actually move your shoulder. So congratulations on being able to do that and throw a sphere. Damn. So yeah. And then,
that would be a game changer. I mean, that'd be a game changer, but
right.
Yeah. Dang.
It's the difference between being able to actually throw a ball, like medically cleared to throw something, versus being able to throw something in a professional baseball game, that I think is what we're unclear about in terms of timeline. That'd be nice to get it back.
I mean, yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I wonder, that's kind of weird. I wonder if he's even traveling with the team. Like, it's kind of like, I signed this contract, but now I got hurt and now I'm kind of at home. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I think he is at the Coliseum. He comes to home games. I don't think he travels. I wouldn't imagine not, but I'm not positive. I don't travel because of the freaking virus. So no restrictions, but yeah, hopefully things open up soon so that we can get back to a little bit.
Hashtag get Shane on the road.
Hashtag get Shane on the road. Hashtag get everything back to normal. Please, please. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Alex,
Shane,
joining the pod.
Always great. It's an honor. Straight A's.
plug your Ricky blog and where you can find
it. Oh, yeah. You can find it on Twitter and Instagram at Ricky blog. And then on at rickyblog.com. I got a podcast trying to do at least a blog or two a day to take some different angles, you know, talking about like how John Fisher is about to get rich off Simone Biles and Kanye West this summer, you know, stuff like that. Weird, different angles. So check it out at Ricky Blog.
Check it out, folks.
Thanks,
Thanks, Alex. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to Alex Espinoza for joining the show. You can follow my A's coverage all season long at San Jose Mercury News and on Twitter at Shayna Rubin. Till next time.